Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special music tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, go ahead and look with me to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. We are starting a new series tonight on the Bible character Joshua. And what a great, great Bible character Joshua is. One of my favorite. From start to finish, Joshua was one of the greatest leaders to ever lead the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. And his testimony is one of obedience and loyalty to God. And through this and through his testimony, as we study the life of Joshua, we're going to learn how we can also live that type of a meaningful and victorious life of obedience and loyalty to our God today, even as we face the challenges that we're going to face in our lifetime, which are different than what Joshua faced, but it was the same faith that Joshua had in God that got him through all the challenges of his life and as we face today. So we're going to need the very same faith in our God to look to him. And I think as we do that, and as we learn from Joshua, we can apply some of these biblical truths to our own lives and live that victorious life as well. As we study the Bible reveals much about this man, Joshua, and what God would have us to learn from it. So I trust that you'll be praying for the Wednesday midweek service and that you'll be as faithful as you can to come out every Wednesday night to be able to learn all that we have to learn from this life of Joshua. So we're starting out tonight by just answering the question, who was Joshua? Who was Joshua? And so go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading here just the first two verses of the book of Joshua, chapter 1. The Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you again, Lord, what a blessing it is to be able to have the Word of God, to be able to have faith in knowing that we have every word that you would have us to live by. Lord, as we come to church, we can hear the Word of God being taught in a way that we can learn and apply it to our lives. And so I pray tonight, God, that you would once again meet with us. Thank you for all that are here in this auditorium, as well as all that are joining live stream, that you would right now, God, just help us all to put everything else out of our hearts and minds and just focus on what you have for us as we study the life of Joshua. Empower the preaching of thy word once again, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. We find here in the book of Joshua that the first thing we learn about Joshua is that he is the son of Nun. Now, Nun would be of the tribe of Ephraim. And if we would go back to Numbers in chapter 13, when they were choosing the 12 spies, and we will look at that at some point, but as they were choosing the 12 spies, they would take each one representative of the tribe. And this would have been how we find that, that Joshua was of the tribe of Ephraim, and his birth name was not Joshua, his birth name was Oshea. Now, if you will study that, you'll find that sometimes it refers to Joshua as Oshea. And then we find, and we'll study that as well as we get into it, but I believe it was Moses that would have given him the name Joshua. And it would be more fitting for this deliverer, which Joshua means a salvation. And Joshua would be the one that Moses would eventually realize he is preparing to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. And so, but if you see this, you find that his birth name would have been Oshea, but then he was named Joshua by Moses. When we study the life of Joshua, we know that he would have been born while Israel was in Egypt, while they were under bondage in Egypt. Now, the first thing we learn, God had a purpose for Joshua, for his life. Did he have a purpose before he was born, or was it the purpose that he allowed him to be born, that he gave him life for? And I think when we study the Bible, we realize that God gives us life for his purpose. Now, that's important for us to know that. God didn't look down on us and say, okay, because of this, this, and this, then I'll do this, this, and this. And as far as who we are and what we've accomplished or what we've done or what who we were born to or whatever. No, God knew what he was doing when he put the life, the spirit of life of every individual into the womb of your mother. And so Joshua here would understand that things that he had no control over, God does. That's a principle that God wanted Jeremiah to learn, the prophet. It's a principle and it's a truth that God wants all of us to be aware of. The things that we have no control over. What family you were born into. What dispensation of time God gave you life. What country. I mean, what gender. I mean, the world is so confused now because they're not believing in God and they're not understanding God's wisdom and God's plan for all humanity. He has a purpose in view for our future. Now, not everyone accomplishes God's will for their life. And sometimes at an early age, can I tell you, it's God's will that every child be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Because they're not, then that can change the direction and the opportunities of that child when they are failed to be raised by their parents in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so there's a whole lot there that it would kind of blow the human mind, you know, just trying to understand it all and put it all together. So what we have to do is just know what the Bible says, and by faith, believe it, accept it, and apply it. I mean, it's important that we believe it, that God had a purpose for the family that allowed us to be born into, the time of the generation that he allowed us to be born into. I look back in history and I'm thinking, boy, there's a lot of generations I would have loved to have experienced. But God chose to allow me to live in my generation. Things we have no control over, God does. So Joshua would have need to learn to embrace his life and the person that he is. Now, all of us, can I tell you that though devil tries to hinder young people by not allowing them to accept who they are. And when they're growing up, they're wanting to fit in. They just don't know who they fit in with. And so often, you know, they try to be somebody that they're not, to be accepted. And there's so much confusion that takes place in the life of people who do not understand that God is in control. God has a purpose, and God would have you to embrace your life. Can't change what you can't change. We can only try to understand it. And whatever experiences that we had no control over that God allowed us to go through, then he had a purpose for that, and his overall purpose would be for us to accomplish what he has us here to accomplish. So look to God to find our purpose. The sooner in life, the better. Sad, so many don't understand their purpose in life until half their life is over. So the earlier we understand this, the better it is for us. God knows. We have to believe in God and understand that he has a purpose, and we need to accept it and apply it. With that in mind, look with me to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 1. In Jeremiah chapter 1, let me get over there myself. Verse 4 down to verse 10, and this is, you know these verses here, but hopefully in this study in the life of Joshua, that it'll make a little more sense to you even tonight. God wanted Jeremiah to know this, that before he was born, God knew him. God's the one that placed the Spirit, the eternal Spirit, of Jeremiah in the womb of his mother. God is no respecter of persons. God knew the life that he gave you. And he knew the womb that he planted you in. Now, he uses the mom and dad. You've heard me say this as we study that. No doubt, he uses mom and dad to give you your physical traits. You know, all you have to do is look at the children and then look at their parents, and you can determine which one they take after. And sometimes it is almost unreal, the match and the personalities and on and on and on as we go. But God wanted Jeremiah to do that. God wanted Joshua to know this. God would have all of us to know this. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, unto Jeremiah. And God says, I want you to know this. Before I formed thee, in the belly I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I had a purpose and a plan for your life. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. That's what my plan was and is for your life, Jeremiah. Then said I, Jeremiah now, he says, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. You want me to be a prophet? I can't speak. For I'm a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. How important that is for us to know. As we are on the path that God wants us to be on, he's with us. I'm going to be preaching on rebellion this coming Sunday if everything continues to go that way. And rebellion is saying, I don't want to be on the path that God has placed me on. I want to be on a different path. But as we are on the path that God has placed us on, we have his promise, his blessings, his power, his enabling. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. God wanted him to know that. I believe God wanted Joshua to know exactly what he had planned for his life. And I believe God would have all of us to understand that God has a plan for your life. And you need to embrace who you are in Christ. And you need to yield to whatever it is that God would have you to do, whether you think you can do it or not. You know, put your faith and trust in God and just do what God has called you to do. And you will be able to get that done. God is omniscient. Now, it's important for us. If I believe that God has knew me and he put my spirit, he planted me in the family that I've been planted in, then if I am to embrace my life and who I am, then I have to believe God knew what he was doing. Can I tell you that God is omniscient? In Proverbs in chapter 2 and verse 6, the Bible says, out of God cometh knowledge and understanding. In Psalms chapter 147 and verse 5, he says, his understanding is infinite. No limitations on what God understands, past, present, and future. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, God knoweth all things. There's nothing that God does not know. His knowledge and his wisdom are infinite. Now, with that in mind, look now with me to Psalms chapter 139. Psalms chapter 139. This is what God has his word available to us so that we might know all these things. In Psalms chapter 139 and verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. The only one that might know you better than you know yourself is God. But God knows you. Kind of scary. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compasseth my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. For me to comprehend this, for me to fully understand this, it's just too much for the human mind. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. I don't know how God knows it. I just know he knows it. I don't know how God can orchestrate all of the things in earth and on earth and in every individual's life. And I don't know how it all happens. I just know it happens. God tells me, don't try to figure it all out because it's beyond your comprehension. It's beyond your understanding. Just have faith to believe it is so. God knows us. God has a purpose for life, every human life, so much higher than animal life. And yet humanity today just brings it down to the life of an animal. So much greater and higher. Look to God to find his purpose. The sooner, the better. Because in God's will is joy, contentment, peace. I've got to know that I'm on the path that God has for my life in every stage of life. In every stage of life. I'm going into a new stage in life. I really am. And I got to know that I'm on God's path. Only God knows that, but he wants me to know it. And he wants me to know it by seeking him and looking to his will and yielding to his leadership and his ways. So he's a son of Nun, of the tribe of Ephraim, born in Egypt to the tribe of Ephraim, while Israel was in captivity or in slavery in Egypt. So we find here the second thing we learn about him, he would have been a slave. Who would ever think that a slave could become one of the most powerful men in the nation of Israel's history? Only God. Only God. Everyone's potential is far greater than what you might think it to be. Exodus in chapter 1. Everybody following tonight? And this is just beginning. This is the man that we're going to learn from. This is the life that God has recorded. And everything about the life of Joshua is what we're going to be studying. And I think we need to learn from this because as we've seen what Joshua was able to accomplish, there's great things that God would have all of us to accomplish likewise. In Exodus in chapter 1 in verse 11, therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasured cities, Pithom and Ramses. Now, this would be the time that Joshua would have been exposed to. He would have seen his dad, a slave. He would have seen his countrymen under taskmasters. He would have witnessed all of this. He would have witnessed the whip of a taskmaster. He was a slave in Egypt. He would have to experience the suffering to become the man that he would become. He would have to experience the suffering of his people to be the leader of his people that he would become, as did Moses. Moses was a little bit different in that he was a son of Pharaoh's daughter, but he would understand where he came from, and he would see what would happen to the Hebrews. And God would use that to get him to choose God and God's people over the house of Pharaoh. So we find here at this very same time, Joshua was experiencing these things in life, and Joshua at the time possibly did not understand, why is this going on? Are we not the children of Israel? Are we not the children of God? And yet, because of God, we are in the land of Egypt. Why does God allow the things that he's allowing us to have to endure? He would also see how God would work to deliver Israel. When he heard Moses, when he experienced Moses coming back and having boldness to go to Pharaoh and say, on behalf of the God of all creation, let my people go. What a time in Joshua's life when he was experiencing Moses and God's deliverance, and he would have experienced all the plagues of Israel that God brought upon the Egyptians. Exodus chapter 12. Look over here with me. Joshua would have been the firstborn of none. He would understand the plan that God had for the firstborn in the land of Israel, or in the land of Egypt, during the Passover. He'd seen all that had taken place. He experienced all of this. And can I tell you, God allows us to go through certain things. He allows us a free will, and sometimes we choose the wrong paths, and we go in, but God has to allow it for for us to even go in that direction. And if God allows it, then he can learn. He would have something to help us to learn as we go through some of the rebellious times of life, as we go through some of the trials of life, and we go through some of the sufferings of life. Can I tell you that however it all shakes together, God is in control of it. He's working it in our lives. And the sooner we look to God in the midst of it to learn what God would have us to learn from it, the better off we are and will be. So now he sees Moses and he understands the last of the judgments of God upon Egypt before he would let his children go would be the death angel. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. He hears Moses present this. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So he would have been there with his father putting the blood over the doorposts of his own house, knowing that it was faith in the blood that would get him through that night. So Joshua, he's being prepared. He would afterwards, and he would experience the Red Sea. He would look back and see all the Egyptian army coming after them to destroy them, and he would see how God would deliver Israel by opening up the Red Sea. You know, there's victories in our lives. There's times in our life that God reveals himself to us, and we know beyond the shadow of a doubt God was working, and yet we forget those things. And time when we should be remembering all that God has taught us and all that God has revealed to us, Satan wants to blind us to that. Joshua would hold on to everything that he would experience in the land of Egypt. Now the deliverance as he's walking through the Red Sea on dry ground. It would prepare him to walk through Jordan on dry ground. Yeah. The first mention of Joshua is found now in Exodus chapter 17. Look there with me. Everybody still with me tonight? Amen. This is the man Joshua. This would have been his life. This would have been what he was exposed to in preparing him to be one of the greatest leaders in the nation of Israel. The first mention now. Now, we know all the other because of the time factors and all that was taking place there. But now we find here in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8. Now, Moses has the slaves, the children of Israel, the Hebrews, out in the desert. They're not soldiers. They've never been trained as soldiers. They were slaves in the land of Egypt. But now they get out there, and Amalek came against them, the Amalekites, the descendants of Saul. The Amalekites. And the Bible says here, and came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand, So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him and sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Wow. So the first mention of Joshua. We see Joshua as a soldier. Joshua as a soldier. A man Moses had confidence in to do what he told him to do. To do what he told him to do. God had put confidence in Moses' heart concerning this man, Joshua. Now, Joshua had to have some kind of training or some kind of skill in being a soldier. Now, it doesn't say, but many believe, as I do as well, that more than likely in slavery in Egypt, he must have had some kind of a job as a slave around the Egyptian army, where he could have very easily have been training with some of the Egyptian military, learning some of the things that God would want him to know, that he would be that captain of Moses to head up his military, to head up the soldiers as they would go through the desert. So we find here that he's mentioned, the first mentioning is when Moses has enough confidence in Joshua to say, I need somebody to be able to pick out the right kind of men to be able to go and fight as soldiers against the Amalekites. The Bible says in verse 10, so Joshua did as Moses had said to him. Now, did Joshua think that he had the military ability to lead some gardeners and slaves to fight the armies of the Amalekites? In himself, he would not have. But if he understood that God had a purpose for his life, and if he understood this was part of God's purpose for his life, then I think he would have done exactly what he did. Just obeyed. He trusted that Moses was being led by God to ask him to do what he told him to do. And if Moses was being led by God to have him to become the captain of the armies of Moses, then God would strengthen him to get the job done. See how all this is coming together. If you have enough faith to believe that God has a purpose for your life, and then you know that God is presenting something for you to do, to accomplish, whether you feel like you're able to do that or not, your faith in God and his preference to call you to do it will give you the confidence you need in God's ability to allow you to accomplish whatever it is that God would have you to accomplish. For I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I'm not doing it because this is what I want to do. I am living the life that God has called me to live. And I'm going to be obedient to do whatever God has commanded me to do as a born-again believer. And if you believe, if you understand this is what God would have you to do and what he has prepared you to accomplish, then you can do whatever it is that God has purpose for you to do. Joshua. That's good stuff right there. As the boy, the older boy seeking employment, And the employer asked him, what can you do? And the boy said, I can do what I'm told to do. And he hired him on the spot. Because that's what most employers want. Just do what I tell you to do. Yeah. The failure is people not doing what God's told them to do. If we would just learn to just do what God tells us to do, God will enable us. So now we see Joshua the next time, Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. This is who Joshua is. This is who he was. This is God working and preparing him to be the man that he would become, accomplishing the things that he would accomplish. One of the greatest feats in all of the history of Israel, leading the nation of Israel into the land of Canaan. So Exodus chapter 24 and verse 13. We find here in chapter 24 and verse 13, and Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. So now we find that Joshua has not only become the captain of the guard, if you will, training the military of Israel, but now Moses has brought him up to be his personal minister or servant. He would live to serve Moses. Can I tell you that it was good because God had revealed to Moses to mentor Joshua, even before Moses realized that Joshua would be the one that would lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. But Joshua was content to be Moses' servant. Now, after the great accomplishment of defeating the Amalekites, and the Amalekites were actually the descendants of Esau, and they were always going to be the enemy of Israel. But we find here that Joshua could have had some pride issues and telling Moses, you can find someone else to be your minister. I've got a more important job to do as the captain of the guard, building the military. We find that Joshua was not that type of individual. He was not a prideful individual. He was somebody that just wanted to do whatever it was God had for him to do. If God told him to go fight the Amalekites, he would go fight the Amalekites. If God told him to be the personal minister of Moses, he would be the personal minister of Moses and be content in doing it. Are we content in doing what God has revealed to us he wants us to do right now? We have several of our staff here that are going to, one day I believe, be pastors. They know that, and they have desire, but they're content in serving as an associate here at this church because that's where God's planted them. Rusty just came back from I thought he was going to take the church in Houston, and they called him 95% or so. Didn't have peace. You have to have the peace of God before you do whatever it is God wants you to do. Is he capable to take on a church and pastor a church? There's no doubt in my mind he's capable. But he's content in staying here and being a servant, being an associate under my leadership, under my pastorate. Brother Buddy, he could take a church. No doubt in my mind, But it's God's will for him to be here and serving underneath this ministry and me as his pastor. And he's content in doing that. Brother Aaron, he could be a pastor. He doesn't think he can, but he could be a pastor. Yeah. He tells me all the time, no, that's not God's will for my life. Yeah. You've heard them preach while I was gone. Every one of them handled the word of God. Yeah. Of course, Brother Andy, being my main associate, the executive associate, they all give him a hard time about that. He could go anywhere tonight. There would be several opportunities for him to go. But he knows this is where God has planted him. And until God leads otherwise, they're going to be content in serving God in the capacity that God has for them to serve. And the very same with each and every one of us here. God has a purpose, and whatever that purpose is, be content. Don't let pride get in the way. Just be content for as long as God would have you to do whatever it is that he has you doing. Now, Joshua, Moses' servant, was content to serve Moses for life, or until God changed the circumstances, which he would, as we read in Joshua chapter 1. But Exodus chapter 32, and we're done here. I'm just finishing up with this part of this lesson here. But Exodus in chapter 32, something you might not have known about Joshua and his contentment, and not only his contentment, but his loyalty and his trustworthiness and his support of Moses. Exodus chapter 32, verse 15. Moses was up in the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, meeting with God. Aaron gave up on him being alive. The nation of Israel gave up on Moses being alive. And they turned to false gods. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and two tables of the testimony were in his hand. His tables were written on both sides. One on one side, the other on the other, written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, now I want you to see, Aaron gave up on Moses. The people gave up on Moses. The only one that was faithful to wait on Moses to come down from the mount was Joshua. As Moses come down with the mount after meeting with God, and he had the tables of the commandments of God in his hand, Joshua was there waiting on him, didn't give up, continued to serve God. Waiting on Moses. I don't know what all would have went through his mind. I know the devil would have tried to hinder him and put every thought imaginable to get him to maybe go down to be with the others that were rebellious, maybe to go back to Aaron. But he stayed faithful to God's call upon his life. Joshua knew what he believed. And he was committed to doing whatever God had for him to do. I'm going to read one last verse here. 2 Timothy, let me just read it to you. It goes right along with what we find in Joshua's life in 2 Timothy in chapter 1. It's Paul's writing to young Timothy, who would be a Joshua. He says to him, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Whatever you have to go through, remain faithful. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. Focus on God's purpose for our lives. According to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God knows who you are, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light. He brought it to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What a great way to live life. Knowing who God is, knowing he has a purpose and a call upon my life, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Joshua, what a tremendous Bible character that we all need to learn from. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Wow, this is just the beginning. Trying to figure out and understand who Joshua was. And in Christ, every born-again believer can be a Joshua. You can be a Joshua. You can. God is no respecter of persons. If you have a mind, focus on God and his will, you can be a Joshua. Father, we bow before you tonight. Thank you, Father, for the truth of your word and for this beginning to this Bible study on the character of Joshua. And I just pray, God, that we would have just received some things tonight that would encourage us to want to learn more and more about this Bible character so that we might apply these very same biblical principles to our lives as well. Now, bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.